Christ our example. And as I've thought of this lesson, I've put it under two headings, in what to do, in what not to do. Christ laid down, laid aside, gave up, emptied himself from the independent exercise of his will and his divine prerogatives. He yielded all this to his Father. That's why he could say, of myself, I do nothing. I even don't talk my own words. What I hear the Father say, that I say. What the Father bids, that I do. So if we can think of Christ our example in his self-emptying, Philippians chapter 2, he was God, but he refused to exercise independently his Godhead. He had a will. He refused to exercise his will independently. He could do everything. He could do anything. He had all power. But he refused to exercise that. Became like a man. Became like a servant. Became like an obedient servant. And died on the cross. Now, why did Jesus do this? Part number one, to glorify his Father. I have glorified thee. Now, we have thought during these tape lessons through the years many times of the word used here by Christ, doxa. That's the noun. Doxology comes from it. The glory here means to extol all the virtues and merits. When we extol and praise in the doxology everything that God is, all that he stands for, all that he can do, all that he has done, all that he is, we glorify him. So Jesus said, I have glorified thee. Everything Jesus did reflected back to God. Men said, what a wonderful God we have. Wouldn't it be wonderful if an ambassador lived in a country and everything he did turned the minds of the people back to the nation he represented? Wouldn't it be wonderful if every member of a church acted so that men would say, what a wonderful church he belongs to? And even more wonderful, wouldn't it be great if everything we did, men would say, what a wonderful God he worships. I would like to have a God like that. I have glorified thee. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. There are no finishers in the Bible. We just stop working at jobs. There's always more to do. Jesus Christ finished. He finished creation. Heavens and the earth were finished. He finished the work of redemption. When he comes a second time, he declares it is finished. He's finished the work of judgment. When he makes the new heavens and the new earth, he says it is done, it is finished. He is a finisher of everything he does. Keeps on till the end. Jesus Christ glorified God in the temptation. He overcame every temptation that every man and every woman will ever have to endure. He was tempted in all points. So as we think of Christ our example, we think of a being who glorified God, who attracted attention to the God whom he worshipped, and who, by his resistance to Satan, demonstrated that the principles of God were the best and the triumphant. Part number two. Christ is our example in doing the will of God. And he carried out the will of God in his own life, and he carried out the will of God in other people's lives. And in doing this, he worshipped God. The worship of God is the adoration of God as a person because of what he is, his principles, his characteristics, his ways of doing and thinking and teaching and planning. Jesus demonstrated it in his own way. And this kind of living, the Bible speaks of fruit bearing. We bear fruit in our attitudes, in our words, in our deeds and acts. We bear fruit to testify we are joined inseparably with Jesus Christ. We have unity among each other. We have one mind. We accept Him completely and we accept our fellow members and fellow believers. In our bodies, we demonstrate by our control of our appetites and passions and feelings and our intake of food and our sleeping and working and everything we do, we demonstrate control that makes us healthier, makes us more buoyant, resilient, happy, less prone to the evils of the world. And individually and as a church, we can thus glorify God. And therefore, in our eating and drinking and anything we do, we should so live and so do that our actions will attract attention to the God whom we worship, so that men might turn to Him and glorify our Father in heaven. Part number 3. Christ is our example in service. The Son of Man didn't come to be served. He came to serve. The Son of Man didn't come to give, to get. He came to give. He didn't think even all the privileges of deity were things that He wanted to get. He had them already. Everything was His. And so He came to give and He came to serve. And He does this physically, spiritually, socially, economically. He helps in every way He can. His example helps us physically. We see the way He lived, we try to live. Spiritually, we see the way He was, we try to be. Socially, we see the way He acted, we try to be. Mingled with the people, helped them, was not too big or snobbish to eat and drink with publicans and sinners, touched the scaly flesh of a leper, gives us an example. Mingle, touch. Those who touched were helped. Now, sometimes we think about serving the world, and we get overwhelmed. We talk about the billion Chinese, almost. 750 million Indians. How can we help these? As one looks at the life of Christ, Jesus helped the ones that touched Him, whom He touched. And in all the talk of our neighbor, and we'll think more about it in our next part, a neighbor is one who is near us. That's what it means, the farmer next door. So when we come to serve, we serve the ones that we can touch. Those are the ones with whom God brings us into contact. We may be in a little community and we may pray in the morning, Lord, help me today to help, to touch some life. I have done this many times. My life around colleges, who can I help today? And I have seen students who I've never seen before, even though the school year might be 9 months long into it. I remember one example. I saw a man walking slowly, looking at a paperback. As I came up to him, I was walking much farther, I said to him, how are things going? And he evidently knew me, and he looked up, and evidently something in my voice attracted him, and immediately he began talking. And the more he talked, the more I saw he had a problem. And so we set up a time. I was just going to class, and we had a wonderful visit wonderful prayer. Somebody you can help. Now there were 2,000 other students there. But he was one that I touched, who touched me. And so there may be billions of people in the world, but our responsibility is to serve those we touch. Part number 4. Jesus Christ emphasized that we should love our neighbors. And he gave wonderful illustrations of who neighbors are. The neighbor is the person whom we touch who is in need. We haven't got to feed the billions in China. We've got to feed the people we touch. And as a church, Seventh-day Adventist Church, doesn't feed the billions in China. It doesn't feed the millions of refugees. It feeds the refugees it can touch. 500, 5,000, 50,000. But not the billions. So the responsibility that is laid upon us, and that Christ sets us an example to do, is to work on the behalf, in a loving way, of those across whom we come. And therefore we pray. The last time I was a pastor of a church, I prayed every day, Lord, in this town there are many people that I will never touch. Please help me to touch. Please bring into contact with me those whom I can help. My personality, my way of doing things, repels some people and attracts some people. Lord, bring me into contact with those I can help. And then we need divine insight to know when we have come into contact with such a one, in order that we might help. This means that we must have an impartial concern. The poor, the unclothed, the hungry, the imprisoned, with poor dresses on, maybe disheveled. We mustn't despise them. They may be rich in faith. And so we don't allow outside appearances or outside factors that might prejudice us to break our ministry for Jesus Christ. But the love of Christ, the desire to set up ideal relationships that He can engender and maintain, should constrain us at all times. Part number 5. Christ's example to control the earth forces. Winds, sea, tempest, earth forces. These are types, parables, of the passions and forces within the human personality. We read in Desire of Ages, as Christ stilled the tempest, so He is ready to still the tempests in our souls, in our families, in our society. Earth forces are symbols of the actions in the heart and the life, or in society. In the name of the Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are to seek to bring about change. All power is given to us in heaven and earth, and this power we are to utilize to help men and women to control earth forces that seek to master them. Temper, anger, jealousy, hatred, war. As we come into contact with them, share the principles of Jesus Christ, and thus gain victory for them, or help them to gain their own victory. Part number 6. Christ is our example in the way He fulfilled His mission in the Incarnation. In the Incarnation, Christ took upon His divinity humanity. He emptied Himself of all the independent exercise of His divine powers, of His willing and His doing, surrendered them to His Father, and then, taking upon Himself humanity, in order that He might not frighten humanity, that He might be able to come close to humanity, that He might identify with humanity and communicate with humanity, He demonstrated in a body, a human body, what God's ideal should be. And this He communicated triumphantly to others. And His communication can give them the victory that he gained. He was adaptable, as Paul was, all things within the law, anything legal, he did, in order that by every means he might influence others to the things of the kingdom of heaven. So as we think of Christ as our example, we see that he exemplified the principles of the kingdom of God. He demonstrated ideal manhood. He shared these revelations with those he touched in order that by this way he might stimulate them to follow his example, to imitate him, to gain the victory that he gained.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you would discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.